Hi, this is Michael Riversong with the Tesla Academy podcast series in June of 2008. We're in Ithaca, New York with Stephen Burke. That's Stephen with a PH. Stephen, I understand you've been instrumental in keeping this program going for quite some time. How long have you has Ithaca Hours lasted so far?
Ithaca Hours started in 1991, so we're 17 years going now. And I've been involved in it for about half that time, I think.
How does the program work in summary?
Well, basically what it is, it's a local currency system, and it's cash money. It's money that we issue that's in paper currency, just like cash that people carry around in their wallets. And it's used by participating businesses and people in Ithaca. There are about maybe 600 members or up to about 1,000 users of it, and there's about $100,000 worth of it in circulation throughout this city. And the way that it works basically is that you sign up to the system, you pay $10 to join, which helps us with our operating costs, which you know, is like office expenses and staff expenses and a website. And for the $10 you get a listing in the website, which is sort of like a Yellow Pages. So whatever goods or services that you offer, you get a listing, and you also get $20 worth of the local money of Ithaca Hours that you can then use to spend with the other, like I say, about 1,000 people or so who will take it.
And that's in a town with, I understand the population is around 68,000, so it's a small percentage of the community from that standpoint.
Yes.
But yet it seems somehow important, because this provides, I think, economic alternatives, particularly for people who tend to get really distressed in our society, like musicians, artists, and inventors.
Yeah, right. You know, also people who, you know, do social workers, you know, teachers, substitute teachers. But even even businesses, you know, like local businesses that are struggling to compete with larger chain stores. And I think really, we think one of the areas of growth for us, or for use with the system, is just even people with good steady jobs in Ithaca that, you know, like Cornell University is here. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that in the United States in general, the savings rate is zero, or less than zero, for the first time since the Great Depression. And what that tells you is that the average American doesn't have any money left at the end of the paycheck, or before the paycheck even comes, it's already all spoken for. So the idea of this currency is that it adds it's a completely new revenue stream of, like I say, over $100,000 that people can use to supplement their income, which, like I say, it's not only for struggling people anymore, it's even for people, you know, who we consider good, solid middle class or even upper middle class people who are finding use to it.
I see. That's interesting. If someone wanted to start something like this somewhere else in the country, what steps would you recommend they take?
It's relatively simple, because, I mean, basically all that we do is we print the money and we issue the money, and we print the directory, which is an online directory now, and we maintain the membership, and that's it. It's not a whole lot of organizational work to do. And when Ithaca Hours started, it was only about maybe 10 people who were organizing and got the thing off the ground. It's like that old saying that they attribute to Margaret Mead, I think, the anthropologist, about, you know, never doubt that a small group of committed people, you know, working for something can change the world, because that's the only thing that has ever changed the world. So, you know, not that we're changing the world, but we're trying to change a part of it. So really, it's just a matter of, it's like a community project that just a small group of people getting together on a regular basis who are committed to it can do it. It's not complicated at all, really.
So you didn't need a rich angel to dump a bunch of money into this to get it primed or anything like that. It just arose from the grassroots, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. It was just a lot of small donations. And actually now the barriers are even lower to starting something like this. Because when Ithaca Hours started, we had to go to a commercial printer to print the money. And these days, that's not necessary with desktop publishing. It can be done by a good graphic artist with, you know, just, you know, regular type of equipment. There's a new group in Calgary, Canada, that has started a widespread system that's modeled on ours, and they print their money off a computer, and it looks just fine, and it's counterfeit-proof, and it's fine. The other expense that has come down is that when we still actually have a print directory that we issue every year, just like a Yellow Pages, that we print about 5,000 of them and circulate them throughout town. That's expensive to do, but now because of the internet, we also have an online directory, which I think before too long is going to supplant the print directory. So those are two major expenses that that we had at the beginning that don't exist anymore.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, and it's amazing the power of computers to do this sort of thing. I'm always amazed at what people can do with very little. Ithaca Hours, to me, puts out a promise that people with only the resources of their minds and their immediate community could prosper.
That's part of the philosophy, and you know there is definitely a philosophy to it, which is, I mean, the first thing is that it's pragmatic. Where here in Ithaca, you know, we're in sort of, even though we have Cornell University, we're in sort of an isolated area, and there's sort of a problem of underemployment here. So it was definitely driven by pragmatism, like the idea that almost everybody that we knew did not have enough money, and yet had needs and had skills. But they just seen that the missing thing in the equation was the dollars to connect people's needs and their skills. So we thought, well, if that's the whole problem, that's easy to deal with. We will just make more money. We'll make our own money. And it's a very simple idea, and I think it's so simple that it seems radical or crazy to people, like sometimes the simplest things do. But, you know, so it was a pragmatic thing, but it was also a philosophical thing, and it remains a philosophical thing where, as you say, it's... you know, people getting together, people working together, people trusting one another to make this thing work. Because we, what we always say about the money is that unlike ordinary, you know, regular money, regular money derives its benefit from scarcity. It's hard to get.
Right.
And that's why it's valuable. But our money is completely the opposite. It's not based on scarcity. It's based on sharing.
It's a kind of an abundance. And of course, one of the most abundant resources in the universe is human mental capacity, and
yes,
this is a way to take some of that capacity, which is of course native to our artists, musicians, and inventors, and channel it in a way that services can spread out along a network and culture can be improved as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely makes use of the resource of people's mentality and people's creativity and people's willingness to cooperate, and also people's willingness to work. You know, there's a certain amount of work that goes into the system, and you know, it's like Faulkner says, that's what makes us human, is that you know, you can't, after you finish sleeping in the course of the day, that's 8 hours, so now you still got 16. You can't eat for 16 hours a day, you can't make love for 16 hours a day. The only thing that you can do, you know, you can work for 8 hours a day, and so, and that's what ordinary people do, you know. And part of the tragedy of this country, in a country with such abundance, is that there's the opportunities for good, rewarding, financially satisfying work are not in abundance, and so that's one of the things that we are trying to do, is to help people to make money by using their particular skills that they have. A lot of members of Ithaca Hours have brick and mortar businesses like bakeries and bookstores and record stores and like that, but a lot of them are people who are, you know, they want to use skills that they have, like child care skills or gardening skills. We have one member who makes a lot of money every year through his skill of stilt walking.
stilt walking.
He walks on stilts, and you know, it's the kind of thing where you couldn't afford to advertise for stilt walking in the Yellow Pages because it would be too expensive. But he's a member with us. He advertises it for $10 a year, and he gets lots of phone calls from you know, community events and parades and parties and stuff like that. And maybe, you know, he clears a few hundred dollars a year or $1,000 by his skill of stilt walking. We have people who lead nature walks. You know, we have people who do dream interpretation. So there's all kinds of creative ways that people can make money using this system.
That's fascinating. And it's true free enterprise. And I like that part of it, too. And it's funny how a lot of this keys into this book that's on the Tesla Academy site. It's called Wheel of Occupations. Generally, occupations will fall into four categories, and all four categories are absolutely necessary for a thriving economy and great personal happiness in a community.
Yeah, four? They've got to narrow it down to four, huh?
Well, the four, it's a long story, and you can read it in the book, but the point is that this helps create the kind of networking that'll create this balanced type of economy in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates it partly because of its informality and simple structure, the way I see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and also because it gives a connection to people that they don't get otherwise. I mean, you know, we live in a society where money really seems to rule, and at the same time, it's also the one tremendous taboo. It's the one area of shame that we have in this culture. You know, like, do you make, you know, even your best friends, you don't know how much money they make, or family members. We just don't talk about that. We talk about everything else, you know, like all kinds of crazy stuff that you see on TV about, you know, people in this society where everything seems to be out in the open, but not money is still a taboo. And to us, that seems wrong, and it seems counterproductive. It seems like it hurts people who, you know, have a need for money, but they're ashamed to say so. And so we think that the idea of having a money that's, like I say, based not on scarcity, but it's based on sharing, it's very empowering to people.
That's fantastic, and I really appreciate your work in this. How would people contact you or get the website? I think we should put this in the podcast here.
Oh yeah, good. The website is www.ithacahours.org, and that's hours as in the time, H-O-U-R-S, and it's .org rather than .com. We have a website there which we I've had for a couple of years a new and improved website with a lot of information, frequently asked questions with answers, contact information. You can see our entire directory of all our members to get an idea of like what kind of people join and what kind of goods and services they offer. And also there are, you know, for people who might be interested in starting a system, they can see the forms that we use, the membership forms, so it's pretty instructive.
That's great. Well, Stephen, I want to thank you very much for this interview, and I wish you the greatest of success and joy, because when you have true prosperity, joy is present.
Yes.
And I really feel that from what you're saying here. So thank you very much.
Good. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Tesla Academy podcasts originate at www.teslaacademy.info. That's Post Office Box 2776, Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you for listening.